Okay, so picture this is you booked this amazing cruise. You're
Yeah.
picturing yourself, you know, lounging on the deck, soaking up the sun,
Yeah.
or maybe you're chartering a sailboat ready for adventure on the open water.
Yeah, yeah.
We all love the idea of a perfect, like, maritime getaway.
Absolutely.
Right. But let's face it,
yeah.
even the best laid plans can go astray, so what happens if there's a problem with the boat?
Yeah.
Or, like, a disagreement with the charter company? That dream vacation could turn into a legal nightmare.
That's where it gets interesting, right?
Oh, yeah.
You see, the world of maritime activities, from, you know, those leisurely cruises to those big commercial shipping operations.
Oh, wow.
It has its own, like, unique set of rules and procedures.
I see.
And one of the most important things to understand is this concept of maritime arbitration.
Maritime arbitration?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds a bit intimidating. Is this something that, like, the average person really needs to worry about?
It absolutely is.
Oh, wow.
Even if you're just, you know, renting a jet ski for the afternoon.
Okay.
You see, many contracts related to maritime activities.
Right.
Including those cruise tickets we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
They often include something called an arbitration clause.
An arbitration clause? What's that?
Well, an arbitration clause means that if a dispute arises, you're agreeing to resolve it outside of a traditional courtroom.
Oh, okay.
Through a process called arbitration.
I see.
So instead of going before a judge and jury, you'd present your case to, like, a neutral third party.
Okay.
An arbitrator who will make a decision.
So no dramatic courtroom scenes like we see in the movies.
Probably not.
Okay.
Arbitration is generally a more private and less formal process than a court trial.
Got it.
But that doesn't mean it's any less important.
Right.
It's very important.
So let's say I'm about to embark on a cruise. Yeah.
What exactly would I be looking for in those cruise ticket contracts? You know, most of us just skim those things, just eager to get on board.
I hear you.
Yeah.
But this is where it really pays to read the fine print.
Okay.
You want to look for a section that talks about how disputes will be handled.
Right.
And if it mentions arbitration, pay close attention.
Okay.
It means you're waiving your right to sue in a regular court.
Why?
If something goes wrong.
So no jury of my peers. If, let's say, the cruise line doesn't deliver on its promises.
Right.
That's a pretty big deal.
It is.
Wow.
And this isn't some, you know, rare occurrence.
Right.
Most major cruise lines include arbitration clauses in their contracts.
Really?
Just to give you an idea of what we're talking about.
Okay.
Here's here's a key part of an actual clause from a cruise ticket.
Okay.
Any claim, dispute, or controversy
between you and us arising from or relating in any way to your purchase of products or services will be resolved exclusively and finally by binding arbitration.
Wow. That's pretty comprehensive.
Yeah.
So if I spill my margarita on the deck and slip, that's going to arbitration.
What? Not necessarily.
Okay.
There are usually exceptions for claims involving personal injury, illness, or death.
Right.
Those types of cases might still end up in court.
Right. Okay.
But for other disputes, like breach of contract or disagreements over services, arbitration would likely be the path.
It's like a whole separate legal system just for maritime issues.
Yeah, it's very specialized.
Wow. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
And honestly, a little unnerving.
I can see that.
I had no idea.
That's why we're doing this deep dive.
Right.
We want to make sure you're informed.
Yeah. Good point.
And it's not just cruises where you'll encounter these arbitration clauses.
Right.
Think about other ways people interact with boats. Buying them, renting them, chartering them.
Right. Those all involve contracts too, don't they?
Exactly.
Okay.
And often those contracts will contain similar arbitration clauses.
Wow. Okay.
So let's say you're buying a used boat.
Yeah.
You might discover,
yeah,
like later, hidden damage that wasn't disclosed.
Oh, no.
Or maybe you're renting a sailboat.
Right.
And you hit a submerged rock.
Oh.
Causing damage to the hull.
Ouch. I can see how those situations could lead to some serious disagreements.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And depending on the contract, those disputes could end up in arbitration.
So what are the pros and cons of arbitration in these scenarios?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And the answer isn't always like black and white.
Right.
It really depends on the specific situation.
Okay. So let's unpack that a bit.
Okay.
What are some of the advantages of maritime arbitration?
Well, one of the key benefits is that maritime arbitration often involves specialized arbitrators who really know their stuff.
Okay, you've piqued my interest.
Okay.
What do you mean by specialized?
Think of it like this.
Okay.
Imagine you're going to court over a car accident.
Yeah.
Would you prefer a judge who only knows the basic traffic laws or one who's also a mechanic and understands the intricacies of how cars work?
That's a good point.
Right.
I definitely want the judge who's also a mechanic.
Okay.
They would have a much deeper understanding of the case.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's the same with maritime arbitration.
Okay.
The arbitrators are often experts in maritime law and industry practices.
Oh, okay.
They understand the nuances of boat construction, navigation rules, and all the ins and outs of the maritime world in a way that, you know, a general court might not.
So it's like having a judge
who not only understands the law, but also knows the difference between a sloop and a catamaran.
You got it.
Yeah.
That specialized knowledge can be a major advantage in getting a fair and informed decision.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But what about the other side of the coin?
Okay.
Are there any potential drawbacks to maritime arbitration that we should be aware of?
Well, one thing to keep in mind is that arbitration is typically a binding process.
Oh, right.
This means that whatever decision the arbitrator makes is final and usually can't be appealed in court.
So you really need to be confident in the arbitrator's expertise.
Exactly.
And the fairness of the process before you agree to it.
Yes. Very important.
It's also important to remember that, as we mentioned earlier, arbitration typically involves waiving your right to a jury trial. So if you're someone who feels strongly
about having your case heard by a jury of your peers, arbitration might not be the best option.
It's all about weighing those pros and cons and making an informed decision.
Okay, so we've talked about the clauses in cruise tickets, but what about when you're actually buying or renting a boat?
Yeah.
Are those contracts any different?
They can be.
Okay.
Let's talk about that after a quick break.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So before the break, we were getting into those nitty gritty contracts.
Yeah.
For buying or renting boats.
Yeah.
Sounds like these agreements can be a bit of a minefield.
You could say that when you're dealing with something as complex and potentially valuable as a boat, there's a lot that can go wrong.
Yeah.
And the contracts, reflect that.
So what kind of disputes typically arise in these situations? I'm imagining things like hidden damage, mechanical problems, disagreements over payment terms, maybe even arguments about who's responsible if the boat gets damaged during a rental.
You're hitting all the right points.
Okay.
Let's break down a few common scenarios.
Okay.
First, imagine you're buying a used boat.
Okay.
Everything seems great during the inspection.
Right.
But later, you discover a major issue that wasn't disclosed.
Right.
Like a problem with the engine or hull damage that was like cleverly concealed.
That would be a nightmare.
Right.
You've just sunk a ton of money into a lemon.
Yeah.
What recourse would you have in that situation?
Well, that's where the contract and those all important arbitration clauses come into play.
Right.
If the seller misrepresented the condition of the boat.
Yeah.
You might have grounds for a claim.
Okay.
But depending on how that contract is structured, you could be headed for arbitration to settle that dispute.
So it's crucial to have a good surveyor inspect the boat before you buy it.
Yes, absolutely.
And to really scrutinize that contract, especially that arbitration clause.
Uh-huh.
Knowledge is power, as they say.
Absolutely.
And this applies to renting or chartering boats as well.
Exactly. Imagine you're chartering a sailboat for a week-long trip.
Okay.
You hit a submerged rock.
Uh-oh.
Causing damage to the keel.
Oh, no.
Who's responsible for the repairs?
Right.
You.
Right.
The charter company.
Yeah.
That's the kind of question.
Yeah.
That a well-crafted contract.
Right.
And a clear arbitration clause.
Yeah.
Would address.
It makes you realize that these seemingly dry legal documents.
Right.
Can actually have a huge impact on your experience on the water.
They're not just formalities.
Right.
And, here's where the flexibility of arbitration can sometimes be an advantage.
Oh, okay.
Unlike a traditional court setting,
yes.
which follows strict procedures,
right.
Arbitration allows the parties involved
okay.
to tailor the process
right.
to their specific needs.
So it's more like customizing a boat.
That's a great analogy.
That fit your exact requirements
yeah, yeah.
rather than buying one off the shelf.
The parties can agree on things.
Right.
Like the location of the arbitration.
Right.
The language used. Mm-hmm. The specific rules mm-hmm. that will govern the process.
Yeah.
And even the selection of the arbitrator.
That makes sense, especially in the maritime world
yeah.
where so much... specialized knowledge
uh-huh.
is required.
Absolutely.
You might want an arbitrator who understands the intricacies of sailing or
yeah.
boat construction.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And this brings us to another important consideration.
Okay.
The expertise of the arbitrator themselves.
Yeah.
As we touched on earlier,
yeah.
maritime arbitrators often have deep experience in the field.
Right.
They might be former captains.
Wow.
Marine surveyors
okay.
or maritime lawyers
right.
who spent years immersed in this world.
So they're not just legal scholars.
Right.
They're also seasoned sea dogs who speak the language of the maritime world.
Right.
That must be reassuring for the parties involved in a dispute.
It can be.
Yeah.
Think of it like this.
Okay.
Let's say you're involved in a dispute
yeah.
over a complex engine failure on a yacht.
Right.
Wouldn't you feel more confident
yeah.
if the arbitrator examining the case
yeah.
had a deep understanding of marine engines?
Right.
Not just legal textbooks.
Absolutely.
Right.
It'd be like having a doctor who specializes in your specific condition
right.
versus a general practitioner.
Uh-huh.
You'd feel much more confident in their diagnosis and treatment plan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That specialized knowledge can make a huge difference
right.
in ensuring a fair and well-informed decision.
This has been really eye-opening.
Yeah.
I never realized how much goes on behind the scenes
yeah.
in the maritime world,
yeah.
legally speaking.
Uh-huh.
But... you know,
yeah.
while we're talking about protecting yourself legally.
Right.
It makes me think about another crucial aspect of boat ownership.
Okay.
Marine insurance.
Uh-huh.
It's like car insurance, but for boats, right?
That's the basic idea.
Yeah.
Marine insurance is a whole different ballgame.
Okay.
With its own unique set of rules and complexities.
Okay.
It's not something to be taken lightly.
Okay, let's dive into that then.
Okay.
What are the key things boat owners need to know
yeah.
about marine insurance? What does it typically cover?
Right.
And what kind of disputes can arise?
Well, a good marine insurance policy should cover things
okay.
like physical damage to your boat.
Okay.
Liability for injuries to passengers or other boaters.
Right.
And even environmental liabilities.
Right.
Like if your boat causes an oil spill.
Environmental liabilities. That sounds serious.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be on the hook for
right.
cleaning up an oil spill.
No one would.
Yeah.
And the costs associated with environmental damage can be astronomical.
Wow.
Which is why having adequate insurance coverage
yeah.
is crucial.
So marine insurance is not just about
right.
protecting your investment in the boat itself,
right.
but also about safeguarding yourself
yeah.
from potentially devastating financial liabilities.
Yes.
It's like a safety net for all the what ifs
yeah.
out there on the water.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets tricky.
Okay.
Just like with those other maritime contracts we discussed,
uh-huh.
disputes can arise over the terms of your insurance policy.
Oh, okay.
There might be disagreements about the scope of coverage.
Right.
The valuation of damages.
Yeah.
Or whether a particular incident is actually covered.
Oh, I can see how that could lead to some heated arguments.
It can be incredibly frustrating.
You're in a stressful situation.
Right.
Your boat is damaged.
Yeah.
And then you're battling with the insurance company over the fine print.
It can be a nightmare.
Yeah.
And this is where those pesky arbitration clauses can rear their heads again.
Uh-oh.
Many marine insurance policies contain clauses stating
right.
that any disputes will be resolved through arbitration.
Okay.
Not in a traditional courtroom.
It seems like arbitration is the go-to method
yeah.
for resolving disputes in the maritime world.
It's very common.
It's everywhere.
You can say that.
Yeah.
And it's important to be aware of these clauses.
Right.
And understand what they mean for you as a boat owner.
So what's the best way to protect yourself besides, you know, not crashing into things and avoiding oil spills?
First and foremost,
yeah.
read your insurance policy carefully.
Okay.
Don't just skim it and file it away.
Right.
Make sure you understand what's covered.
Right.
What's excluded.
Yeah.
And how the claims process works.
It's like reading the instruction manual before you operate
That's right.
a complex piece of machinery.
Yep.
You want to know how it works
right.
before you need to use it.
And if you have any questions about the policy... don't hesitate to contact your insurance broker or agent
right.
for clarification.
Okay.
They're there to help you navigate the complexities okay. of marine insurance.
So it's all about being proactive and informed.
Absolutely.
Don't just assume everything will be fine.
Right.
Take the time to understand the details and protect yourself.
Yeah.
That seems to be a recurring theme in the maritime world.
It's sound advice for navigating any legal waters.
Good point.
Not just the maritime kind.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah.
We've talked about arbitration clauses in cruise tickets,
mm-hmm.
boat purchase contracts,
yep.
and even marine insurance policies.
Yes.
It's a lot to take in.
It is.
Yeah.
But the key takeaway is this.
Okay.
Awareness is your best defense.
Okay.
Understanding how these legal mechanisms work
right.
can help you make informed decisions.
Yeah.
And potentially avoid costly and time-consuming disputes
right.
down the line.
Well said. Thank really? You. So before we wrap things up,
yeah.
is there anything else boat owners mm-hmm. or anyone interested in maritime activities
yeah.
should keep in mind? Any final pearls of wisdom?
You know, yeah. one last thing
okay.
that often gets overlooked
yeah.
is the importance of documentation.
Oh.
It seems simple.
Yeah.
But keeping detailed records of everything
okay.
can be invaluable if a dispute ever arises.
What kind of records are we talking about?
Yeah.
Receipts for repairs.
Yep.
Logs of maintenance work.
Uh-huh.
Photos of the boat.
All of the above.
Wow.
And even more.
Okay.
Think about communication with the seller.
Right.
The charter company
yeah.
or the insurance company.
Okay.
Save those emails.
Right.
Document those phone calls.
Yeah.
If there's ever a disagreement.
Yeah.
Being able to back up your claims.
Right.
With the solid paper trail.
Okay.
Can be the difference between winning and losing.
So it's like building a case file. Even before you know you need one.
Exactly.
You never know when those records might come in handy.
It's always better to be overprepared than caught off guard.
That's fantastic advice.
Thank you.
Documentation is key.
Yes.
And on that note,
okay.
I think we've navigated the choppy waters of maritime law.
I think so.
Quite effectively today.
Yeah.
But before we head back to shore.
Okay.
Let's take a quick break and then come back.
That's good.
For some final thoughts and insights.
Okay.
Stay tuned. Welcome back, listeners, to the final part of our deep dive.
Yeah, we've covered a lot today.
Yeah, we have. And, arbitration clauses.
Yeah, arbitration clauses in those cruise tickets.
Right, and then even in marine insurance policies.
Yeah, a lot of legal ground covered.
That's a lot to think about, so.
It is.
Hopefully now you're feeling a lot more prepared.
Yeah.
To navigate those waters yourself.
That's the goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
We want to empower you.
Yeah.
With the knowledge you need
right.
to make informed decisions and protect your interests.
So let's take a moment to reflect
okay.
on what we've learned today.
Yeah.
And maybe distill some key takeaways.
First and foremost, we've seen
yeah.
that arbitration plays a surprisingly large role
right.
in resolving maritime disputes.
It's like this hidden current, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That flows beneath the surface yeah. of all those like fun, yeah. exciting maritime activities.
And understanding how arbitration works
right.
is essential for anyone who spends time on the water.
Exactly.
Whether you're a seasoned sailor
right.
or just an occasional cruise passenger.
We've also learned that those seemingly innocuous
right.
arbitration clauses tucked away in contracts
yeah.
can have a significant impact, you know.
They can.
On your rights and your options.
Absolutely. It's crucial to read those contracts carefully.
Right.
And make sure you're comfortable
yeah.
with the idea of resolving disputes
oh, yeah.
outside of a traditional courtroom.
And while arbitration might seem a little intimidating at first,
yeah.
it can actually offer some advantages.
It can.
In the maritime world.
Especially yeah. when you consider the expertise of the arbitrators.
Yeah, like, yeah.
These are individuals who often have
yeah.
deep knowledge and experience.
Exactly. Think of it like
yeah.
having a trusted mechanic
yeah.
or a shipwright
yeah.
helping you resolve
right.
a technical dispute about your boat.
Exactly.
You'd feel much more confident in their assessment
right.
than someone who's only read about boats in a textbook.
Hey, Billy.
But as with any legal process,
yeah.
there are potential downsides to arbitration as well. Mm. We've talked about the binding nature of arbitration awards and the fact that you're typically yeah. waiving your right to a jury trial.
Exactly. It's all about weighing the pros and cons
right.
and making sure you understand the implications
right.
before you agree to anything.
Informed consent is key.
Absolutely.
And this brings us back to a point we've
yeah.
emphasized throughout this entire deep dive,
yeah.
the importance of being proactive
right.
and doing your homework.
Yep.
don't just assume everything will be fine.
Right.
Take the time to understand the detail of your contracts, your insurance policies, and the legal mechanisms that govern maritime activities.
It's like studying those nautical charts.
Yes.
Before you set sail.
Exactly.
You want to know what to expect.
Yeah.
And be prepared.
Right.
For any potential hazards.
Well said.
Thank you.
And while we're on that topic of preparation,
okay.
I can't stress enough the importance of meticulous record keeping.
Absolutely. It's so important.
Those records can be your lifeline if a dispute arises.
Right.
Whether it's a disagreement with a seller or a charter company or even your insurance company.
Think of it as creating a detailed logbook of your maritime journey. You're documenting every step of the way.
Yeah.
In case you ever need to refer back to it.
It's amazing how such a simple act, keeping good records,
right.
can have such a profound impact.
It can.
It goes beyond just legal matters, too.
Yeah.
Those records can also help you track maintenance, spot potential problems early on, and even enhance your enjoyment of boating by providing a historical record of your adventures.
Exactly. It's not just about protecting yourself.
Yeah.
It's also about preserving memories.
Right.
And creating a legacy.
Well, I think on that note,
yeah.
it's time to bring this deep dive to a close. But before we do, I want to leave our listeners with a final thought-provoking question.
Always a good way to end.
Now that you've gained a deeper understanding of the legal complexities of the maritime world, will it change how you approach those contracts? Will you be more diligent about reading that fine print?
Asking questions.
Asking questions. Yeah. Documenting your experiences.
Yeah.
And perhaps most importantly, will it impact how you interact with the water itself?
That's a great question.
With a greater sense of responsibility and awareness of the intricate web of laws and customs that govern this unique realm, those are questions worth reflecting on.
They are.
As you embark
on
your next maritime adventure.
I agree.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone.
Into the world of maritime law.
Until next time.
And until next time, fair winds and following seas.